We're searching for sunshine. We're looking for a friendly place. A silver lining, a happy face. A little grin in that open space. And a chance to say, have a happy day. Just a chance to say, have a happy day.
If you're over 40 and lived in South Africa in the 60s and early 70s, you'll remember that with fondness. It is, of course, the theme from Lorenzo Marx Radio. You will also recognize this.
Aqui em Portugal, Moçambique. Fala-vos o Rádio Clube Lorenzo Marx, transmitindo em ondas curtas.
That was Donna Amelia, whose voice beamed out the station identification across Africa every hour on the hour. LM Radio was the first commercial station in Africa. It had a significant influence on broadcasting and music in South Africa, particularly during the protest years of the late 50s and during the 60s. I'm Chris Turner, and over the next few weeks I'll bring you the LM Radio story. We'll have interviews with former LM announcers, clips of voices from the past, and some of your favorite jingles, like this one.
Here's the place we say, have a happy day.
The LM Radio story begins on two continents in the early 1930s. Broadcasting in South Africa was controlled by the SABC, a state-owned monopoly, just like the BBC in Britain. There was initially no advertiser-supported broadcasting. Alan Thompson and Dave Howell now tell us how commercial broadcasting came about.
The story of commercial wireless goes back further than the 30s. The earliest programme, it seems, was broadcast in 1925 from Radio Paris, who at that time were broadcasting from the dizzy heights of the Eiffel Tower. The show consisted of a fashion talk in English and was sponsored by Selfridges. Unfortunately, the transmission received no advance publicity and only three people ever wrote in to say they'd heard it.
But it was in the 1930s that Europe had its biggest ever commercial radio boom. An enterprising gent by the name of Captain L.F. Plug, who had miraculously got away with that English broadcast from the Eiffel Tower, formed a company aptly named the International Broadcasting Company, or IBC.
IBC later rented airtime from Radio Normandy. By the end of 1932, no less than 21 British firms were sponsoring the programmes of light music and variety. Money was flowing like a cool mountain stream, with an equally cool £400,000 being spent in 1935, which had increased to an incredible £1,700,000 by 1938.
And this is how Radio Normandy identified itself.
This is Radio Normandy broadcasting on its new wavelength of 274 meters.
Radio Normandy calling you, bringing you music from Africa, the longer and rhythms await you here.
Hello everybody, this is Roy Plumley speaking. I hope you're spending a happy weekend and that the programs you're hearing from Radio Normandy are contributing to your happiness.
By 1939, Radio Normandy had a vast audience in the UK and carried both advertising and sponsorship. Commercials in those days did not have the short, sharp thrust of modern radio commercials, but sounded more like this.
Ready, take your seats, please. Right away!
We're off to Reading, hooray, hooray, at Huntley and Palmer's to spend the day. We're longing to reach this wonderful town, to taste their biscuits so crisp and brown. All hot from the ovens before us displayed, we see how these world-famous biscuits are made. And now for our breakfast, dinner and tea, the biscuits we must have are H and P.
The success of these things was so fantastic. People would tune into Radio Normandy because that was when people used to, what they used to call, search the ether. This was twiddly old knobs of their set and pick up stations from all over the continent. So that when they heard these English programs, particularly as the BBC was not on the air, they would tune into these things like crazy because we put out all the pop music from beginning to end of our transmission times. But of course we did expand, and in no time at all, from those earliest beginnings, grew literally an empire.
Bob Danvers Walker. Bob was one of the senior announcers on Radio Normandy. He went on to open other ABC stations throughout Europe and later became a top BBC announcer and well-known newsreel commentator. Another famous announcer was Roy Plumley. Here he tells his story of how he got into radio.
I was interviewed by the boss, the general manager, Richard Mayer, who became my boss and a very, very good radio man indeed. And he listened to my idea and said, it's absolutely splendid, but we haven't got the technical resources and it's much, much too expensive. Having got that out of the way, he then gave me some time and began to talk about commercial radio and its problems, in which I was naturally interested. And he said that one of the problems was that there were just four chaps living in this small community, this small northern French fishing port, Fécamp. And in the winter, things got a bit morose. There was no English colony. They were on their own, and there were crises of temperament and alcohol, and they found it terribly hard to keep staff. And in fact, he said, we're minus an announcer at the moment. Do you happen to know anybody? And I said, well, there's me. Because I happened to be out of work at the time, as most young actors seem to spend most of their time out of work. And he said, fine, well, you shall have an audition. So I was sent a day or two later up to the UPC studios, and I found that there were three others waiting for the audition. And I thought, oh, well, this is no good. I thought it was just going to be me. If there's competition, I'm out for a start. And I went into the studio in my turn, and they gave me some stuff to read and some ad-lib announcements to make. And the man taking the audition was Tom Ronald, who afterwards became one of the senior light entertainment producers of the BBC. And at the end of it, after I'd done it, he came out of the control room and said, thank you very much. And I said, thank you very much. And I went home. And when I got home, there was a telephone call. Why hadn't I waited? They wanted to see me. So I went back the next day. And I got the job.
The IBC pioneered outside broadcasting. And here's Roy Plumley again.
We had a lot of outside broadcasting. This was a development that happened in about 37. We had our first IBC outside broadcast truck. Very heavy, with a lot of equipment in it, to do what could nowadays be done with a small tape recorder. And these lorries were put up on jacks, and wax discs were cut. And we recorded in cinemas. We recorded cinema organ programs with instrumentalists and soloists. And we used to record from specially staged variety programs from cinemas. We had our own road show on the air, a touring review, Radio Normandy Calling, and I used to follow that round. I used to judge the amateur talent competition on Thursday night and then record a half-hour show on Fridays.
Ovaltine presents Melody and Song Program, featuring the Ovaltine Concert Dance Orchestra and Light Novelty Orchestra under the direction of Philip Green, the Ovaltine Symphony Orchestra and Military Band under the direction of Michael Collins. Remember, while you're listening to the brilliant cast of artists brought together for your entertainment today, that this program is only made possible because of the tremendous popularity of Ovaltine. Ladies and gentlemen, the Ovaltine Melody and Song Program.
Now listen to this clip, which ended each night's broadcast. The tune is the 1927 Ted Lewis recording entitled Good Night.
And now the International Broadcasting Company's transmission is drawing to a close. For those of you who are keeping watch on board the ships of the seven seas, fair winds and a good passage. To those of you who man the lightships on our sea-washed shores, may your night proceed peacefully, immune from fog. To bakers and newspaper girls, to young mothers who tend their darling little ones, to those who are rising to ashore the early morning ships, may your day of toil be fruitful. And to the rest of you, especially those who may be sick or suffering, good night and happy dreams.
Good night. Good night. Just a kiss. May you fade from my sight. Oh, say, then I'll go. Or you'll know that I love you. I'll love you so.
That was the good night message and sign-off from Radio Normandy and other IBC stations. It should give you a clue as to the connection between the IBC and LM Radio. Stay tuned to find out more.